So tonight we will begin the first of 5 sessions wherein I would like to share with you the pastime of Krishna chastising Kaliya. Within this pastime, there is the reoccurring theme that we hear within so many of Krishna's pastimes of how a chastisement is later seen as being the source of great mercy. But in the beginning, it seems quite opposite. So tonight, my sincere attempt is to give you and myself an impression of what it would be like. I do not wish to awaken your intelligence, but I wish to share with you an experience. So please accept the roles of listeners, and I will try to recount the pure words of great personalities who have seen this pastime within their hearts. Krishna told Kaliya, "You have shown me your prowess. Now, I will show you mine." Please listen. It is very difficult to tell someone that the life of their very close relative has been threatened, and it is far more difficult and painful to witness somebody that you love very dearly being attacked or captured by dangerous enemies. And it is unbelievably difficult to be present and to watch your dearmost friend being killed before your eyes and not be able to prevent his death. This pastime begins with such a painful episode. Such a painful episode that the speaker, Sukadev Goswami, is reluctant to go into the details. But gradually, this same turbulent and unhappy situation will turn into an experience of great joy and satisfaction. So please hear now how Krishna is able to expertly reciprocate with everyone and at the same time to produce exactly the result he desires from his every action. It was well known in Vraj that within the waters of a lake connected to the river Jamuna, there lived a fierce, thousand-hooded, poisonous snake. Yes, it was very well known that that lake was his residence, and it was a very dangerous place. For many thousands and thousands of years, he had lived in the lake, and it had become his territory. He lived there with his family and countless other snakes, deep, deep, deep beneath the water. And his presence there had turned that lake into a boiling pit of poison. The burning venom from this great serpent and his vast empire constantly heated and boiled the waters of the Jamuna, who felt as if she had a black, burning ball within her stomach. From the part of the lake where Kaliya resided, deep, deep below, the venomous water bubbled and boiled furiously. And if any bird was to fly overhead, they would fall down dead in that water. The forceful exhalations of the snakes created waves in that vast expanse of fiery poison and illuminated the water with a crimson radiance. A dense, dark cloud hung just above the water, and the poisonous vapors rising from the lake poisoned the air. When a breeze passed over the top of the lake, it carried tiny droplets of poison in every direction. And thus the region all around the lake was barren of all vegetation. Only one very ancient and very tall kadamba tree stood proudly on its banks. Naturally, none of the residents of Vrindavan would ever go there, and they were very, very determined to make sure that Krishna would never go there also. However, Krishna, being very playful and curious by nature, knew about this serpent and the contamination that he had created. And thus, he had developed a desire to remove that snake from Vrindavan and cleanse the river Jamuna of this poison and allow this lake to become a place of auspicious pleasure pastimes. It was a very special day in the month of Shravan. Krishna was only 6 years old, soon to become seven. And today was Balaram's auspicious birth celebration. So he was required to remain at home and perform many ritualistic ceremonies. Today, Krishna would go to the forest without his elder brother. As the cowherd boys, all eagerly and excitedly, gathered around, waiting to leave, Yasoda Ma instructed them. She told them, "You be extra mindful today and always keep Krishna in the midst and protect him." Yes, they agreed. Now, carrying out her order, they surrounded all around Krishna in a loving, protective mood, wishing to guard him against any kind of danger. Then, taking some young, pregnant cows, they all set off for the forest to have an adventure. Krishna chose some exciting new places to visit today. And although the sun was particularly hot, the boys ran and laughed and played and jumped and joked together. They played in this way throughout the morning. Then, when lunchtime arrived, taking the opportunity to cheat others, Krishna quickly ran towards Kaliya's lake. Arriving at the banks, the thirsty young cows immediately drank the water, while the boys, as if of one mind, placed their cupped hands into the water and began to drink. But they were just on the bank of Kaliya's lake. This water was deadly poison. It was so poisonous that upon touching their lips, even before it entered their mouths, the cowherd boys and the cows fell down dead. Within some seconds, some of the boys fell into the water, while other boys struggled onto the sandy bank and they collapsed there. Suddenly, the whole scene was that of death. Krishna turned to look as he saw his friends who had previously been laughing, joking, playing, now lying lifeless before him. And he began to lament. "Oh no! Oh no! A great calamity has befallen the boys and the cows. They have all fallen into danger. What should I do? I am their only helper. I was their companion. What will I say to my brother? Or my mother and father, or their mothers and fathers, and the other people of Braj? Oh, what misfortune my impulsive nature gives!" Then, with a melting heart, he began to cry, streams of tears fell from his eyes. They fell upon the ground and the boys and the cows. Then Krishna became many Krishnas, and still crying loudly, he embraced each boy separately in his loving arms. His tears brought back to life his cows and friends, who opened their eyes while still lying on the ground. Now revived, they did not immediately move or speak. Their eyes filled with tears, they lay there, reflecting upon what had just happened and how Krishna had saved them. They could not give up their meditation upon him, for they understood that he was the source of their consciousness. Meanwhile, the cows, mooing loudly, they all surrounded Krishna on all sides, and they began to lick his body and lick his body, while he in turn embraced them with his loving arms. They yearned to simply remain like that forever, drinking the nectar of his beautiful face. This indeed, 1 minute. This indeed is a very extraordinary pastime. For Krishna allowed Kaliya's presence to disturb his dearmost friends, and thereby to indicate to the whole world the need for the removal of Kaliya from the Jamuna. It was also Kaliya's destiny to have the imprint of Krishna's lotus feet upon his head. And thus this incident had to take place in order to provoke Krishna's attention. Previously, Krishna had been very eager to kill this snake, who was giving sorrow to both the moving and the non-moving living beings on the bank of the river. But he had remained silent until now due to the devotion of Kaliya's wives. But seeing the effect that his lethal poison had upon his most dearest friends, he now became very angry. Concealing his intentions, Krishna said, "My dear friends, just see, this uncontrollable snake, Kaliya, lives in this lake, stopping the flow of the water. He has turned this place into a poisonous hell. If a bird flies overhead, it will fall down into the water. But look, this Kadamba tree, it is not afflicted by the poison. This is because Garuda placed some immortal nectar up, up high in its branches. And thus, it remains beautiful with green leaves and fragrant flowers. I have heard that this nectar is still hidden in a hole in the tree trunk, high up, up in its topmost branches. So I will now climb this tree and find that nectar. All of you, stay back far away from this lake and keep the cows far away as well. Then, raising his dhoti to his knees and taking his pitambara and tying it around his waist as a waistband, Krishna suddenly ran swiftly towards that tree while all the boys looked on. And within seconds, he climbed higher and higher and higher and higher until he reached the tree's highest branches. And there, at the top of this vast tree, he stood tall and firm, like a wrestler about to begin a fight. And he slapped his right and his left arms with his hands and smiled as he looked down on the lake below. Krishna knew there was no easy solution to Kaliya's presence in this lake. His poison was so fierce that no one could even approach him, what to speak of attack him. And he was extremely powerful. Yet standing on that branch, far up above the lake, Krishna casually tied back his curly hair, repositioned his turban and tightened his waistcloth. And then he made clenched fist victory gestures to his astonished friends. Then, just to create some excitement, he jumped from that branch up at the top of the tree right into the deep crimson boiling poisonous water, completely full of snakes, with which Kaliya was the most terrifying. And it was astonishing how a small boy could make such a tremendously loud sound and forceful impact into the water. It was as if a huge mountain had come crashing down into its depths, overflooding the banks and sending massive tidal waves rushing towards the shore in all directions. Krishna wanted to disturb Kaliya. He wanted to inform him of his arrival in a most extraordinary way and bring him up to the surface ready for a fight. Then, swimming around happily in that same water that had killed his friends only a few hours ago. He even drank some of the water, rinsed his mouth, and spat it out. And nothing happened. Then Krishna wanted to swim and play in the lake, and so he used his hands to swirl about in the water, making loud splashing noises and diving playfully under the water and twirling around under the water and coming up again. Splashing, swirling, jumping, making musical sounds with the water, diving and sporting fearlessly, Krishna was blissful. Although the surface of this 8-mile-long lake had previously been calm and quiet, when Krishna entered, the water became like the ocean, with massive, massive waves. Krishna's sporting affected the whole surface of the whole lake by freely and fearlessly playing in that water for some time. He wanted to agitate Kaliya even more. At that time, Kaliya was resting, unsuspecting that anything unusual was about to occur. So far, no one had ever disturbed him. How could they? Who would dare? The water was so lethally poisonous that any man or animal would die simply by coming near to the lake. And thus he had been left alone to live a peaceful life along with his family. But now, suddenly, someone very powerful had entered the lake, and this person had to be extraordinary to be able to withstand the fiery poison. But not only that, they were creating such a disturbance simply by playing in the water. Kaliya became startled, and fear entered his heart. He felt both insulted and threatened, and so he hastily went to see who had violated his watery domain. All of a sudden, suddenly, his mighty form rose up out of the water. Great power resided within his 101 coils, which extended in every direction. He was full of rage, and he was furiously hissing and spitting poison in every direction. But he was also puzzled when he saw this young boy splashing and playing freely, completely unaffected by the poison. He did not see any sign of fear in this child, and that puzzled him even more. And then he observed Krishna's delicate feet and saw that they were soft and tender like a lotus. And he saw his large, beautiful eyes, which were charming, and his yellow garments glittering like gold. and he also saw his beautiful smile. Yet in spite of seeing Krishna's extraordinary beauty, great anger arose in Kaliya's heart. Hissing and spitting, he lunged forward with his mighty fangs and he bit Krishna on the chest. Then, making a loud sound of rage, yearning to crush Krishna, he expanded himself to monstrous proportions and he completely enveloped Krishna within his coils. And the boys and the cows standing on the bank, when Krishna jumped from the Kadamba tree into the boiling Jamuna's waters, their hearts were aflame with suffering. And they called out, "Alas! Alas! Alas!" And then, despite the dangerous waves that were surging towards them, they ran towards the water's edge, ready to themselves enter the water. But then the cows also wanted to run to Krishna. The boys looked behind them and they saw that from every direction the cows were running towards the water, and they tried to stop them. Now, greatly distressed, they again ran towards the water, but then they were confused and they were almost dead and they couldn't understand what to do. When Kaliya rose up out of the water, they witnessed his frightening form and his vicious attack. And then seeing the Lord of their lives wrapped up in the coils of the snake, now submerged in the water, the cows and the boys were full of lamentation and fear. Krishna appeared lifeless and helpless, paralyzed in grief. They froze in place, holding their palms to their heads and weeping profusely. They cried out piteously to Krishna, "How painful! How painful! We cannot bear to live!" And then, only because they still hoped that Krishna could kill this demon, as he had previously killed so many before, could the cowherd boys even continue to breathe. Were they in a coma? Had they fallen unconscious? Were they dreaming? Were they even alive? They did not know. That was their external condition. What was the condition of their hearts? no one knows. Seeing this ghastly sight, the whole world appeared void and nearing destruction. All the cows and all the boys lost consciousness and collapsed on the ground. Watching from above, the demigods felt their hearts pierced by flaming arrows, and in grave distress they cried out, "Alas, alas." Then, wishing to alert the residents of Vrindavan of this disaster, they manifest many, many inauspicious omens in the sky and on the land.
Ish, ish.